Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. It's no small thing to be happy, and we can be happy, according to our guest, Alan Wallace. Look within, says this scholar with degrees in physics, the philosophy of science, and in religious studies. He was also ordained a Buddhist monk. Dr. Wallace works closely with scientists and spiritual leaders intent on bringing Buddhist practices and Western science together to understand better human consciousness. His perspective on what the West has to offer is grounded squarely in the remarkable insights of William James.
William James is one of my heroes, and when he, as one of the great pioneers of psychology in the Western Hemisphere, when he envisioned this fresh new scientific discipline of studying the mind directly by way of introspection, he was not naive. He recognized that's full of potholes and minefields and so forth, but he offered a vision that introspection, the direct observation of one's own mental states, which is exactly one of the things done in meditation, could be actually the spearhead, the central thrust of this great new scientific study of a natural phenomenon, the mind.
Alan Wallace is the author of Genuine Happiness, Meditation as the Path to Fulfillment. He's a longtime practitioner of Buddhism who has taught Buddhist theory and meditation around the world since the mid-1970s. Dr. Wallace's undergraduate degree is from Amherst College. For 14 years, he trained as a Tibetan Buddhist monk and was ordained by His Holiness the Dalai Lama, then earned his doctorate from Stanford. Dr. Wallace now heads the Santa Barbara Institute for Consciousness Studies, which he founded. Bill Russell and I share Dr. Wallace's deep interest in consciousness. We all are hopeful that we are on the verge of a revolution in understanding this aspect of the human experience. We welcomed the opportunity to join in conversation with Dr. Wallace, confident an adventure awaited. Alan Wallace, I found myself today, as I do many days, thinking, this is out of control. Having just read Genuine Happiness and thought along with you in this, the ideas with which I often find myself thinking, that's a delusion, Paula. To start for me in this frenetic world with the idea that I could even consider being in control brought me to what is for me some of the heart of what you want me to know about being alive, isn't it?
You're quite right. You're quite right.
Where did I get this silly notion that somehow I might be in control?
Well, it is a delusion when it comes to the sense of our being in control in terms of other people's behavior, even those closest to us. In fact, I think it's probably a really bad idea.
Including myself closest to us?
Well, certainly in terms of spouses, children, friends, and so forth, the notion of control is simply not part of friendship. It's not part of love. It's not part of very meaningful human relationships. It's learning, it's collaborating, it's sharing. It's not a matter of control. But especially when we go out beyond our immediate environment, out to the economy, to the environment, politics, etc., etc., on an individual level, our degree of control is so marginal that it's almost inevitable that we'll exaggerate it. Then if we're relying for our very happiness, for our well-being, for the sense of flourishing, of satisfaction in life, upon situations, circumstances, people, events that are beyond our control, that's a bad wager. But I feel now that we are on the brink of discovering a new world. We've just had Columbus Day.
Or Indigenous Peoples Day.
Indigenous Peoples Day. I'm happy to rename it anyway because, of course, that continent was very well explored already, but just not by these white guys over in Europe. But the notion of a new world and its fantastic resources is the only thing I'm picking out here. And that to such a small extent, have we really explored our own inner resources for finding a sense of genuine happiness, of depth, of meaning, and so forth, that are not contingent upon external things going our way?
I have been known over and over and over again to say that we live in a time of great change, but as I thought about you, it may be that we live at a time at the beginning of a real revolution.
I certainly hope so. I think if we're not on the brink of a revolution, or another word that's become one of my favorite terms is a new renaissance, if we're not on the brink of a genuine renaissance, then I think we'll simply be following a path that seems that has the outer appearance of humanity being set on its own suicide.
That would be serious.
Well, it seems like there is something of a mania that is dominating so many aspects of public life that simply doesn't even care about our children, our grandchildren, in so many respects. And when a species doesn't care about its own progeny, then that species is writing its tombstone. And that is a situation we're finding here on so many fronts. It's not a little problem here, a little problem there, a little fix-it-up, as the environmentalist said 30 years ago when I was planning on a career, 35 years ago when I was planning on a career in environmental studies. The whole model of cleaning up after the elephant, you know, dump on the environment, dump here, and don't worry, we'll come along and just pick up after you. Well, it was an antiquated notion then, and now it's simply a catastrophic notion.
Happiness. We will come back and talk about happiness. How about that?
Let us talk about that when we come back in just a moment. Please be with us when we return.